everyone. My name is Emily Escorcia. I'm your host, and you guys are tuned in to Talk About It. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning back in. I'm Emmy, as most of you may already know. And I just wanted to say, first things first, I appreciate all the support that the podcast has gotten so far. Just with the trailer and the Instagram page and the Twitter, you guys, I love you all. You guys are phenomenal. I appreciate every single one of you, and every single time you guys hit play, leave a review, like my page, follow any of the above. You guys are dope. And so today we're going to be tackling self-awareness. What the hell is that? And why do so many people swear that they are self-aware? How do you become self-aware? And am I self-aware? I'm going to help you answer all those questions today. I'm even going to give you some tools and some questions that you can ask yourself that can help you become more self-aware. So self-awareness, by definition, is having conscious knowledge of one's own character and feelings. This includes your personality and or individuality and the experience of it, both internal and external. And for those of you that may sound like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, and I may pick it apart a little bit. Basically, it's how you perceive yourself, your behavior, and how you feel about it, how you feel about yourself, the representation that you give off to others. Does it match? And also, are you allowing others to give you that feedback to basically tell you, hey, you're on the right path. You've been making the decisions that show that you are aligned with your goals and your character and your feelings, or giving you feedback saying, no, you're displaying all the actions of somebody who's not in alignment with what you just said aligns with your character. And so that feedback is half of the equation. 50% is internal, 50% is external when it comes to self-awareness. Now let's talk a little bit about character. Character, by definition, is the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing, moral or ethical quality. And this is an individual, subjective point of view about character, okay? Every person has an individual character. And so whether or not you are morally north or you align with other people is irrelevant. And there may be other characters that are similar and align with you to a certain extent. And you have a certain foundation of beliefs that you kind of form your thought processes around. To establish your character, you would need to establish, what do you value? What do you think is important? What do you think is moral? What are some things that really, really matter to you specifically? I can't sit here and tell you what to believe in. I can't sit here and tell you what to value. But you need to sit down and have these questions answered. What is important to me? And don't think so big, you know? Don't freak yourself out. It's really easy to get overwhelmed and be like, well, who am I? Oh my God. But that's not what I want from you either. Sometimes it can really be as simple as family. And so values, by definition, are a person's principle or standards of behavior, one's judgment of what is important. A value is anything that you're going to measure your life and your decisions out of. Think of it like a lens. And so two of my values, just as an example, are growth and empathy. And I've mentioned them, I believe, in the trailer. Growth as a person, as an individual, as an organization, as a woman, all these things are extremely important to me. I'm learning for myself. I'm teaching others something that they might not have known. And empathy for me is one of the things that I always put my life in that lens because I feel for the lives of others. I look at the story that somebody brings forth in front of me and I either laugh or cry or get angry with them because I can feel the emotion that their life has been feeling because of something that has affected it. If I'm not being empathetic, I have to be able to realize that and correct myself. And so here I'm going to give you guys the first tool. And it's literally just a Google search, list of values. And this is going to be the skeleton, right? This is going to be where you kind of branch out, read the list, and you're like, no, that's not me. That's not me. Oh yeah, that one does identify. That one makes sense. All those things that you start to feel like, okay, that's important. I want you to narrow it down to three. And that's going to seem a lot easier than you think when you first look at the list. But the more you go down, the more values you realize, the harder it's going to be. But I tell you to narrow it down to three. And that's generous, actually, because a lot of people tell you to do two. And you're going to narrow it down to these three because if you don't know how to focus on your values, you don't really have any. And if you're going to tell me, oh, I value 10 things, okay, well, then you're not giving any of them proper attention. Even if you give them full max attention, you're giving 10% of your attention to 10 different values. So it's just not feasible. You need to be able to narrow it down to two or three. I recommend two. I'm asking for three. But the next tool that I'm going to ask you to Google is going to be the Wheel of Emotions. It sounds like nonsense. It's advertised for children, and I promise you it is just as useful for children as it is for adults. A lot of people don't know how to accurately communicate how they really feel. They'll be like, I just feel, I don't know, like angry and just mad, and that tells me nothing. Mad tells me nothing. Tell me that you're frustrated. Tell me that you're irritated. Tell me that you feel vulnerable. Tell me that you feel amazed, confused, envious. All these different more detailed and rich vocabulary for feelings that kind of pinpoints the actual thing that made the emotion happen. And now with the Wheel of Emotions, I'm going to allow you to bring it down to about 10. And these are the ones that you're going to feel most often on a daily basis. We're going to start with daily. Every single day, I feel energized. I feel happy. I feel frustrated at my customers. I feel, irritated that I have to wake up because the alarm rang at 5:30 or whatever. It's not for me. That's the most important part to remember. It's for yourself. I'm never going to see this. It's literally just for you. So nobody's going to read this. Nobody's going to check on you. It's literally just work for yourself. And that's the whole point of self-awareness and self-development, right? Go into your Wheel of Emotions and give me the ones that you feel the most often, because then you're going to detail why. What exactly makes you feel that way every single day? So it's like, if you put grateful on there, you can make a crazy list of grateful. But if you put frustrated on there, you better be giving detailed instructions as to what exactly is frustrating you on a daily basis and what are you going to do about it, or can you do anything about it? Because that's another thing to remember, is some things that we get frustrated about are completely outside of our control, and we have to learn to kind of let that go. That's another episode for sure. But right now we're going to focus on this. Once you've established the things that you value, and once you've established the things that on a daily basis kind of ravage some sort of emotions in you, you're gonna see some overlap. At least I hope you see some overlap. Maybe you see some fitness overlap. Maybe you see some happiness overlap. Maybe you see some family values and spending time with friends overlap. All those things that start to kind of cross paths, they're going to cross paths again in the next set of questions that I'm going to offer you. And then that's kind of going to be your direction, right? I wouldn't call it a calling, but I would definitely call it some sort of direction. And then that's where we're going to start going in regards to self-awareness. These questions I'm taking from Aspire Counseling, And there's going to be three specifically that called out to me. How do I want to be remembered? When do I feel the most alive or most satisfied? And how have I made difficult decisions in the past? All three of them, I think, are very good indicators of what kind of values you have as a person. And so how do I want to be remembered? That basically says, do I want to have a legacy? Or is my family what's going to be left behind of me? Do I want to be remembered through the work that I leave behind? Do I want to be remembered literally in a building that I make? Those are important things, and they're all going to look different, right? And so that's why it's so personal and individual that I mentioned in the beginning. And it's really important that you understand this. This is not to make someone else happy. This is not to look good for other people. This is for yourself. And so that's question number one. Question number two, how do I feel the most, or when do I feel the most alive or most satisfied? For me, it's talking about this and being with my family, being with my boyfriend, all these different moments, spending time with my dog, being in nature, all these different moments. I'm like, oh, I am human. I'm alive. I am here. And though that can look different for everyone. I have a friend who loves murder shows, and you know, they're really satisfied at home with a cup of tea or coffee and a murder show, and that's really something that is important for them. And how have I made difficult decisions in the past? So is this a matter of gut, a matter of logic? Have I turned to others for support? Have I made decisions by myself? Have I done research when making these decisions? Do I take time? Do I not? Do I jump into conclusions, or do I rush into my decisions because I think I have it like right in the moment? Those are also very poignant indicators of the type of character and values that you have as a person. Because if you love to research, if you love to read, if you love to spend time alone, then maybe an active customer sales job is not for you, you know, in regards to, am I in the right field? Am I doing the things that make me happy? Can I be doing these things like in the comfort of my own home? Can I, are they free? Like, am I really just struggling here for nothing? Or is this really something that's going to take a village to help me through? And do I need to reach for support? And is this something that, you know, is going to take some time? Whatever the case might be for you, but you need to establish what that is. Once you get that figured out, you start to develop your internal self-awareness. This is the 50% that I talked about. Internal self-awareness is the big question of who am I, or who am I trying to be, basically. And so now the second 50%, this is the part where people don't have so much fun. And this is the best way that I recommend doing it. Text 10 people in your life who you think really care about you or really can get a good sense of who you might be, or spend a lot of time with you, even, because maybe you feel nobody knows you, and that's perfectly fine. But maybe they're the 10 people who spend the most time with you in your life. You can send them a text and ask them, hey, friend, what would you say describes me as a person? Be honest. Tell me what you think I kind of display as my values, as my character, and as my me individually, and see what they tell you. Once you get those 10 answers, you're gonna get a pretty clear indication of, uh-oh, my values are not being shown. My values are not being lived because I'm not representing that on my daily. There's always going to be a small amount of people who don't believe that you match with your values. And that's perfectly fine. You're never going to satisfy everyone. But the 10 people who care about you the most or spend the most time with you are usually going to give you a very, very good depiction of that, because it's very frank. They see you. They talk to you. They know you as best as anyone can. And so if 10 is too many and 5 is enough for you, 5 should be plenty. But you definitely need to ask for that feedback. And so once you've gotten there, and if you think you're willing to go a step further, ask, what do you think my character flaws are? And then you kind of have the same discussion with yourself. What do you personally believe are your flaws and weaknesses? Those are some of the questions that I also posted on the Instagram that I think are really valuable for figuring out self-awareness is, and everybody does this in like every interview ever, what are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? But the reality is, what are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? And nobody's going to sit there and tell me that they don't have weaknesses. Listen, as much as I am good at communicating all this stuff, I'm an emotional roller coaster. And anybody who loves me can tell you, absolutely, she's an emotional roller coaster. But guess what? That's a certain level of self-awareness that's like, yeah, I know I'm an emotional roller coaster, and I also know when to identify it and when to pull back and be like, oof, I'm being too much for people. Let me take a breather. And so that's where you meet in that middle of internal and external self-awareness. And we're going to dig a little deeper into that now. I'm going to be referencing a diagram that I found on Harvard Business Review. You can look this up for yourself. It's the 4 self-awareness archetypes. So there's going to be high external self-awareness and low external self-awareness. That sounds just like what it is. And then high internal self-awareness and low internal self-awareness. And it's going to cross on the plane of 4 little sections. And people who are high internal self-awareness and low external self-awareness are what we call the introspectors. They are clear on who they are, but they don't challenge their own views or search for blind spots by getting feedback from others. This can harm their relationships and limit their success. What that means is people who have low external self-awareness, meaning they're not open to feedback, they're not willing to listen to the basic feedback of those that care about them and take it into consideration to change their behavior, but they are high on who they believe they are, tend to get stuck within their relationships and within their success as a professional because they only introspect and they do not allow for the external to assist them. The next step is going to be low internal self-awareness and low external self-awareness. These are the seekers. They don't know who they are, they don't know what they stand for, or how their teams see them. As a result, they might feel stuck or frustrated with their performance and relationships. This I see the most often. This is people basically who are just a little lost. They're not sure where they're headed. They're not sure what their calling is. They're not sure how people perceive them or why people perceive them the way that they do. They are not sure what exactly they're passionate about. And this is not necessarily a bad thing. This is exactly a blank canvas. This means that you are prime potential to figure out all the wonderful values and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and get more information out of your life experience so that you can make the most of it and basically start from scratch, which is usually pretty great. Some people just don't like starting over, but you get to start, period, which is fun. The next one is low internal self-awareness and high external self-awareness. This one is the pleasers. They can be so focused on appearing a certain way to others that they can be overlooking what matters to them. Over time, they tend to make choices that aren't in the service of their own success and fulfillment. This is basically all the people who love to make sure that everyone is happy and everyone is satisfied and everyone thinks that I'm doing so good and everyone thinks that I'm so amazing. But I'm sacrificing my own true happiness, success, and fulfillment in the long run because I'm doing things for others instead of doing things for myself. And then finally, we have high external self-awareness and high internal self-awareness. This is just categorized as aware. They know who they are, they know what they want to accomplish, and they seek out and value others' opinions. This is where leaders begin to fully realize the true benefits of self-awareness. This is just as it sounds. You get to cultivate basically all the experiences that you've had with yourself and the time that you have taken in order to ask yourself these questions. And you've also taken the time necessary to speak to the people in your community or in your circle to get a better sense of self and also get a better sense of what I would be good at. And then go from there. Once you're aware, then you can move forward into your calling. You can move forward into fulfillment. And that's basically what we're reaching for. I'm making decisions in line with that. And I'm also in line with the way that people view me, because that's ultimately going to be the indicator of whether or not I'm doing a good job. Another option for external self-awareness as an exercise is to ask those same people that care about you, if you're not comfortable about asking them to maybe describe you or characterize your flaws, ask them what they think you would be good at. And then listen to what they believe your strengths are. It doesn't always have to be, oh, what are my flaws? What are my weaknesses? It could also be, what are the things that I'm good at that I'm not aware of, that I don't realize I'm very good at? All this knowledge, wisdom can be checked out of conversation with people. Honestly, I have gotten so much experience and education from the conversations I've had with my elders, conversations I've had with my professors, conversations I've had with my supervisors, and all obviously in a very respectful tone, but I definitely allow them to speak their experience and their expertise to me, because that feedback is also very important. And so if there are mentors in your community that you maybe communicate with or that you look up to, those are also good people to reach out to and have those conversations about self-awareness and how they develop their own self-awareness. Because I promise you, if there's someone out there that you believe is a mentor or an idol of some kind, and they are living their truth, they're living their success, I promise you, they are living their self-awareness. They know what they're good at, they know what they're bad at, and they are leaning towards what they're good at, and they are fixing what they think they're bad at. And that's how success is possible. But it's really as simple as figuring out, like I keep repeating, who you are, what's important to you, and whether or not that is in alignment with what you are projecting. So just make sure to do your homework, guys. And on Friday, I will be available for any kind of questions, comments, feedback on an Instagram Live or Facebook Live. Still haven't decided. And then I will be also posting for you guys every single Wednesday, recording on Mondays. And you guys can follow me at Talk About It with Emmy. Thank you so much again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be here with me tonight, today, this morning. I hope you have a wonderful day. I love you guys so much. You really are the best. Peace out.